Best get our weapons.
Makes sense. Can you manage it, Lover?
With you, may Gaia aid me.
Several of the buildings of Hopeville had gone down under the quake, and at least a quarter were ablaze. The gusting wind was whipping up cascades of red and orange sparks that whirled into the air, vanishing among the mighty trees. A few men and women, looking shell-shocked, wandered around the ruination of their settlement, one or two making half-hearted efforts to throw buckets of water onto the fire. The old blind man they had encountered along the trail days earlier was wending his way through the debris. His head pricked up at the sound of their voices. He recognized them. He opened his mouth to scream a warning. Without breaking a step, Jack plucked out one of his concealed throwing knives and flicked it toward the old man. It struck the brother with a fearsome accuracy, sticking in his useless right eye, driving through, pulping the liquid orb, penetrating the front of the brain through the optic nerve. The man's arms flung wide, as though he were welcoming an invisible comrade. A watery thread of blood inched over his stubbled cheek. The lines went down in his legs, and he stumbled and fell.
Head for Wolf's house, over there!
The big building was one of the few that hadn't been damaged by the storm and the following quake, standing rock solid at the head of the single street of the build. The ground trembled in a violent aftershock, making Ryan stagger sideways, clutching at Christie to steady himself. Jack darted over and retrieved his knife from the twitching corpse, resheathing it out of sight. Nobody else in Hopeville seemed to be aware that the prisoners had escaped.
Stop there! Don't move!
Duck realized that Brother Waits was terrified, his eyes staring, his mouth gaping. The muzzle of his Winchester rifle was wandering from side to side. Duck let go of Maya's hand and half turned away from the pursuer, masking his movement, reaching for the silvered butt of the little .32 caliber automatic that he'd noticed in the woman's belt. He palmed it smoothly and thumbed back on the hammer, firing from the hip.
Got him, Doc! Yeah! Brilliant piece of shooting!
Then, a familiar voice came from behind them, near a tumble-down shed with all of its windows shattered.
Yeah, fucking brilliant shooting.
Wolf's house was silent. There was the smell of wax polish, and the banisters glistened. Oak paneling reflected the light of several dangling oil lamps on brass gimbals. A full-size oil painting hung crookedly on the opposite wall of the entrance hallway, showing a soldier from pre-dark times in a green uniform florid with crimson and gold frogging, holding a drawn cavalry saber. He was a tall, handsome man with a proud, scarred face.
Find the weapons!
J.B. sprinted up the staircase, followed by Jack and Dean, while the others started to check out the ground floor. The lamp swung from side to side as yet another brief but powerful aftershock made the building tremble. There was every evidence of panic. The dining table lay on its side, food spilled, glasses broken, the smell of beer strong in the dusty air. Chairs were upturned. Ryan found a smear of what looked like fresh blood on the edge of the doorway into the kitchen. The stove had slid the length of the room, still lit, with a pot of beans miraculously steaming away, undamaged.
Ryan?
Mildred was in the back room, which looked as if it had once been Wolf's private study. Dark oak shelves lined the walls, with all of their books now spilled in disarray on the gleaming floor. Ryan poked his head into the room.
Locked cabinet in here. Seems like it might hold some blasters.
Yeah? Let's smash it open.
Ryan picked up a heavy stool and hefted it over his head, bringing it around with all of his strength to hit the inlaid cabinet just above the ornate brass lock. The wood splintered under the blow, and the door swung slowly open, revealing the rifle, scatter gun, machine pistol, and a variety of familiar hand blasters and knives.
Jackpot. Get your blaster, Mildred. I'll take Doc's Lamar. And let's hope I give it to him real soon.
Ryan tucked his Sig Sauer P226 into its holster, the balance immediately feeling right. The 18-inch Panga went into its oiled sheath on the other side, and the Steyr SSG-70 rifle was slung comfortably over a shoulder. He tucked Doc's massive cannon into his belt. The others came running in. They helped themselves to their own blasters, emptying the shattered cabinet. J.B. straightened his back, testing the action of the Uzi, a rare glacial smile decorating his sallow face. Satisfied, he hefted the powerful weapon across a scrawny shoulder.
Dark night. That feels better. We gonna spread some chillin' around the ville?
Can't afford to. Best is to get out clean and fast. That way we can go after Doc. Maybe get to him in time to do some good. Might pick up Owsley's gang on the way back.
I think we should take out Wolf. Evil bastard. Best without him.
Ryan considered the teenager's suggestion. Brother Joshua Wolf's presence on the planet would be better ended.
No, I think it's better to get out fast, Jack. Time's not on our side.
I'd like to see that shithead chilled. Did us some serious harm.
The decision's made. If we can, we'll get out the back way into the big trees and loop around. Head after Doc.
Doc stared at the gloating face of Jim Owsley. He felt a biting pain in his heart at the sickening realization that they were finished. He felt sorrow for himself and a deep misery that Maya Tennant was also doomed. He'd known the woman for only a few hours, but everything he knew about her was good. Now she was minutes from death. Owsley was only a few paces from them, holding his Hawes Montana Marshall 45 revolver in his right hand, aiming at Doc's chest.
Put the blaster in the dirt, you old fuck, or I'll chill you and that bitch thrown both. Don't matter much to me one way or the other.
Doc dropped the little hideaway in the mud by his feet, still holding the cane in his left hand. Owsley's eyes darted around the clearing, staring at the burning house, glancing behind him.
You see any muty rats around? I reckon there's gotta be nests of them.
Maya hadn't moved at all. Now she edged closer to Doc, laying a hand on his arm.
Rats! I fucking hate them! You seen any around here?
They're everywhere, Brother Owsley. Waiting in the shadows for you.
Shut the fuck up!
Forgive me, but you asked me the question, did you not, brother?
All eyes turned as a tawny cat strolled out of the wreckage of the little shed. It rubbed against the legs of Jim Owsley, who promptly shot it through its angular skull.
Ah! No!
We just walked straight out the front door. Everyone on triple red.
There was yet another savage aftershock. Ryan paused just inside the front door, peering out.
Head for the nearest cover, then on the trail back toward the redoubt. If we get split up, we'll meet there. Don't stop for anything or anyone. Time to lay down bullets without any questions. Christy, you stay close to me. Close as you can. Good luck, friends.
The storm had faded away almost to nothing. Ryan grinned reassuringly at Christy and drew the Sig Sauer, thumbing back the hammer.
Those aftershocks will keep the bastards busy.
And the fire. Veal could go like tinder.
Ready? Here we go.
The cat's head was blown apart by the heavy caliber bullet, and its body flopped limply in the dirt at Owsley's feet. It didn't have time to make a sound as it died. Maya stood still, her hands reaching up to her face, as though she were about to gouge out her own eyes. Doc touched the woman on the arm, seeking to comfort her and to restrain her from any violent action.
Maya, please.
You murderous, cold-hearted bastard!
Maya was in a red mist rage, half running at Owsley, clawing toward the man's face. Doc closed his eyes, not wanting to see what he knew was going to happen. The jolt of the 45 round threw her backward, her hands clasped over the small entrance wound. Doc blinked in horror, seeing the hideous gaping chasm of blood and splintered bone at the center of her back.
Oh, dear God, no.
Doc's eye was caught by the little blaster glinting in the mud, but he knew that Owsley would shoot him down before he could reach it. His fingers tightened compulsively on the hilt of his sword stick. The sec man seemed hypnotized by the dying woman.
Bitch. You devil.
Doc's hands moved without his control. One hand gripped the ebony shaft of the cane, and the other twisted the silver lion's head hilt, drawing the rapier blade in a silent, smooth action. He was four short paces away from the stupefied man, who stood with his revolver pointing at the dead woman.
Stupid bitch.
It was like he was paralyzed, squinting at Doc as the old man closed with him, dropping the sheath of the sword, the steel glinting in the watery sunlight.
What?
Doc felt a fierce, burning exultation as he lunged at Owsley. A full 10 inches penetrated Owsley's stomach, and Doc gave his wrist a savage twist. The blaster dropped from nerveless fingers, and a thread of blood came warming out of Owsley's gaping mouth. His eyes widened, and his fingers groped for the murderous steel. But Doc had already withdrawn his rapier, stepping away from the mortally wounded sec man.
The debt is well paid.
Though the man was dying, he was still able to move, tottering away into the edge of the forest, clutching at his stomach. Doc ignored him, kneeling in the damp dirt by the side of the dead woman, feeling for her cold fingers. Several of the buildings of the settlement were well ablaze. The wrath of God finally visited upon the wicked community. As Ryan darted out of the front door, his arm linked with Christie's, he realized that the big house, Wolf's own home, was one of those that had caught fire. Flames billowed out of the rear living rooms, smeared with thick, oily smoke. The companions headed for the fringe of trees.
The whole place will go!
Serve it right! Serve them all right! I only wish we could have killed Wolf himself!
No time!
Ryan could see JB and Mildred about 20 yards ahead, following on the heels of Jack and Dean, the youths sprinting toward the forest. So far, nobody seemed to have spotted them. Jack was already close to the nearest edge of the dank, dripping forest, where the powerful quake had brought down three of the biggest trees, the giant limbs tangling with one another into an impenetrable maze. Within a few minutes, they'd made their way unchallenged to safety, a good half mile from the edge of the settlement. They were on a rising point in the buckled trail, where they could pause and look back at the smoking ruins of Hopeville. Jack shaded his eyes with a long white hand as he peered down. JB watched beside him, wiping splattered dirt from the lenses of his spectacles.
Seems like they've given up.
Surely do.
I'm glad we're out of there. Sure hope Doc's okay.
There was activity around only one of the burning buildings, the large house that belonged to Joshua Wolf. There was a feeble bucket chain operating, and one man was at the top of a rickety ladder, directing water from a hose into the inferno of bright orange flames. Coils of dark smoke enveloped him, but then the wind suddenly dropped and veered, and everyone recognized him.
Wolf.
With his good hand, the leader of the Children of the Rock was struggling to hold the hose while keeping himself steady on the swaying ladder. Ryan stared across the hazy distance, squinting at the figure of his bitter enemy. Christie laid a hand on his arm.
You said you'd leave him be, lover. We can walk away.
Sure. Only Trader used to say that when you walked and left an enemy alive, you were storing up future trouble for yourself. You know what? He was right.
Ryan slowly unslung the Steyr bolt-action rifle from his shoulder, then took Doc's ponderous Lamar from his belt and handed it to JB. The armorer took it and jammed it into his own leather belt.
Mind this for me, friend. Just while I do me some hunting.
Wind's dropped. Still about 10 miles an hour, left to right.
Good half mile, way beyond my blaster's range.
Ryan levered a 7.62-millimeter round into the chamber, then hefted the rifle to his shoulder and peered through the starlight night scope with the laser image enhancer. The scope brought Joshua Wolf much closer, the crosshairs centering on his chest. Though he couldn't see it at that range, Ryan knew that a tiny red dot would have appeared on the man's shirt, almost invisible. Ryan remembered Mildred's advice on classic target shooting. Hold your breath and keep the rifle well braced into the shoulder. He didn't need to close one eye. Mildred claimed that all great shots fired two-eyed anyway. His finger took up the slack on the trigger, and he readied himself to shoot, taking account of his heartbeat, aiming to fire between beats for maximum efficiency. At the very last moment, Wolf seemed to sense his danger and turned on the ladder, staring directly toward Ryan. He spotted the red dot on his shirt and brushed at it with his good hand, his mouth opening as though he were about to yell for help. Too late. Joshua Wolf threw his arms wide in the pose of crucifixion and toppled from the ladder into the flaming heart of the inferno.
That's one of the finest shots I ever saw.
No, it wasn't. I was aiming at his head.
Doc had found a rusted shovel in an outbuilding and was already three parts through, burying the small body of Maya Tennant. He had picked a shady patch of ground beneath an ancient, twisted quince tree. When he spotted his companions coming through the forest towards him, he straightened, rubbing at the small of his back.
Looks like there's been some blood spilled hereabouts, Doc. We passed a Sekhmen on the trail, heading for Hopeville like his ass was on fire.
Getting too old for this, friends. I would be grateful for a hand with the interment. A fine woman died here. That scum dog Owsley butchered her.
JB handed the Lama to Doc.
Didn't spot him on the trail.
You kill him?
I dispatched him to dwell with his master, Beelzebub.
Ha! How?
Trusty rapier. Gutted him like a landed trout.
And we were all worrying about you. You did good, old friend.
But what a price to pay.
Doc pointed to the half-filled grave.
I'll help you.
We'll all help.
It took them a little under a half hour to finish the job.
You want to say anything, Doc?
She was a good woman. I scarcely knew her. But what I knew was good and brave and kind. She saved my life from those running dogs.
Amen.
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 JB picked up his fedora and placed it back on his sallow head. Ryan brushed the dirt from his hands.
Time to go now, friends.
Think that the children of the Rock will come after us?
Nah, they're finished. From the red reading, it looks like the quake opened up the hotspot at max level. It means they can count their days.
Yeah, and the sooner we're out of here, the better. Let's go.
Both Doc and Christy had tired quickly as they picked their way along the trail through the trees. The quake hadn't been so powerful in this area as it had been around Hopeville, but a number of the pines were toppled. It was nearly dark when they finally reached the massive sector of the redoubt. Ryan took a last glimpse of the outside world before the sector would slam shut. A magnificent sunset blazed away toward the Pacific Ocean in the not-so-far west. It seemed to set the tips of the pines on fire with blazing radiance. Pale tendrils of white mist gathered around the peaks of the Sierras, drifting down into the valleys. Jack went inside, followed by Dean and Doc, his arm around the boy's shoulders. JB led Mildred in by the hand, leaving Christy and Ryan standing together in the cool of the evening. The setting sun dazzled off her fiery hair, making it seem as though her skull were ablaze. She turned and smiled at Ryan, the bright emerald light from her eyes filling him with a wave of fondest love. She squeezed his fingers in her hand.
We made it again, lover.
Yeah. Been plenty of blood spilled in the last couple days.
Not ours.
No.
She looked up at him, scuffling the silver toes of her boots in the dust.
How much longer, lover?
Who knows? Just keep on to the end. And when we get to the end, I guess we'll know it.
Do you still think about settling down, lover?
Of course. Not a day passes without thinking about it. One day it'll happen.
One day.
Joining the others, they headed for the elevator that would take them down through the buried levels to the subterranean floor of the Matrans unit. The elevator worked smoothly, carrying them silently into the deeps of the military complex. Nobody spoke, all of them sharing the usual apprehension about the pending jump. The friends trooped through the control room with its rows of desks and flashing banks of lights, into the little room, and on to stand together in front of the actual gateway chamber. The armaglass walls were glistening with a deep, deep maroon color, the door slightly ajar, showing the hexagonal interior of the unit.
Sector's all locked behind us, Dean. Best be safe.
Sure are, Dad. All locked.
Everyone ready for the jump?
I confess that I shall be more than delighted when the jump is over and done.
Despite his reluctance, Doc led the way into the chamber, crossing the floor and sitting down slowly. He leaned his back against the vivid color translucent wall. Jack and Dean were next, sitting on either side of the old man, Jack's white hair a startling contrast to the maroon armaglass. Mildred made herself comfortable next to Jack, patting the floor next to herself for JB to sit down.
Here we go again.
The armorer carefully removed his spectacles and folded them into a pocket of his jacket, laid the scattergun and the Uzi alongside him, and finally took off his fedora and settled it into his lap. Christy took a last quick glance around before taking her place between Doc and Dean, leaving a gap for Ryan to join at her side.
I am in need of a long vacation. Maybe the next jump down the line can take us someplace like that. Yeah, maybe.
He stepped inside the gateway chamber, aware that the maroon walls were giving everyone, even Jack, a healthy, ruddy glow to the skin. Before sitting down between Christy and Dean, Ryan unslung the stire from his shoulder and laid it on the metal discs in the center of the floor. As he stood by the door, he looked around at the group of old friends, his mind flashing back for a moment over some of their adventures together, knowing that a man could never have better companions. Ready, Jack? Dean?
Ready.
Mildred?
Let's get on with it. Sooner we start, the quicker we get to finish.
JP, you ready to jump?
The armorer simply nodded.
Doc?
Guess he's ready as ever.
Lover?
Let's move on, lover. Like Mildred says, the sooner we start the jump, the sooner we'll be someplace else.
And here we go.
He tugged the heavy door firmly shut, triggering the Mat-Trans mechanism. He sat down quickly, giving Christie's hand a firm squeeze, and settled himself comfortably.
See you soon, lover.
Ryan tried to reply, but the effort of speech was enormous. The maroon walls of the chamber were receding from him at an alarming rate. The darkness came, and Ryan Calder closed his eye.